Welcome to Paddling Adventures Radio. I'm Sean Rowley, and with me is Derek Spesh.
Hello.
How's it going, Derek?
Fantastic. It's going great.
Just tickety-boo.
Dickety-boo.
Tickety-boo, as it were. Happy Thanksgiving.
Yes, thank you very much. Yeah. Happy Thanksgiving to you.
It was a good Thanksgiving.
What did you do?
I went paddling. What'd you do?
I went camping.
I also had birthday cake.
You had birthday cake?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. 10th.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, it was somebody's birthday, wasn't it, Derek? Whose birthday was it, Derek?
We did wish you a happy birthday.
I know. You guys called me. Or no, you left a voice message thing.
Left a recorded voice message.
Yeah, over text.
Me and my family sang happy birthday to Sean.
Uh-huh. Much appreciated. Yeah, no, it was a good weekend. Got some stuff done around the house. Went for a paddle. Did the Thanksgiving thing, the birthday thing.
Excellent.
It was good times had by all.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So where'd you guys go camping?
We went to Sandbanks. This is the sixth year in a row we went to Sandbanks for Thanksgiving. So we take the camper out there and do a lot of hiking, climb the dunes and stuff like that. So it's really nice. We really like going to Sandbanks and last 6 years in a row we've been there, right? So it was good. It was a really good weekend. We did a lot of hiking. I was exhausted. But, we didn't do any paddling. It was just sort of a hiking Thanksgiving weekend. Cook some, what was it? We had turkey roll. We camping and not like you have a full-size oven. So we did a turkey roll with baked potatoes and all the fixins and stuff like that. So that was pretty cool. But yeah, it was nice.
Sometimes you just wish, like, nice Thanksgiving, have everybody there, and you don't want to do a big, massive turkey.
Yeah, oh no, we I don't think we've ever cooked a turkey. It's not my thing.
Yeah.
Turkey rolls are good. This one was, we got the local Hollandas or something, and it was nicely flavored. It was a big chunk of turkey.
And you have that portable stove oven thing.
That was donated to me.
Right.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. Glad you know, it's better than sitting in the corner here collecting dust.
So in the camper, our oven that comes with the camper, we can't use it because mice have nested in the insulation layer on the outside of the, between the walls of the oven. So you just fill that camper full of the smell of mouse urine. So we haven't been able to cook in the oven in the camper in 5 years, 6 years.
Yeah. Well, if you cook them once.
It's the smell of urine. The urine's always going to be there.
I have to
pull it out and take all the insulation out, replace the insulation with new insulation. So,
yeah.
Speaking of mice, we must have relocated some a mouse nest because it was the whole weekend we saw these, honestly, they were the cutest little things. Little tiny, tiny black puffball mice running around everywhere. Like, they're smaller than a cotton ball, almost perfectly round. And they're just zipping to and fro, and it's like, whoa!
In your camper?
Yeah. There's a nest somewhere in there.
So they went camping for the first time?
They went camping, yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
So we saw them, they climbed out and were running around outside, and then jumped back inside, and we saw them running around, and so we get the camper back into storage. I'm sure the mother's going to be going, there you are.
You wouldn't believe the adventure we went on with the Specht family. Any animals besides birds?
Mice, birds, lots of squirrels, but nothing big. It's Sandbanks. We're in the middle of a campground, so it's pretty rare. We saw.
How busy was it this year? How is it this time of year?
So it's surprising. Every time we go, we have trouble booking spots. We always manage to book ahead like 5 months out because we know we're going to be going. And it's usually booked up solid. But there's a lot of fair weather campers out there. So when we walked around the campground, as we would do two or three times a day, there was I'd say 25% of the sites were empty. But we also had a lot of rain on the weekend. Like, there was a Friday night, it was hammering down. Like, it woke me up out of a dead sleep. I was like, well, what is that? And there was so much rain coming down that the whole thing was just like we're in a drum covered in rain. It's like, It was so loud. Hmm. It was crazy. And so when we walked the dunes at Sandbanks, I've never seen the sand so wet there at Sandbanks. Yeah.
But then it cleared up.
Oh, yeah. It was a really nice weekend. It rained at night, not during the day.
Yeah.
As we scheduled it that way.
So that's always good. That's always good. You know, Parks Ontario,
very accommodating that way.
Very accommodating, yes. Oh, yes. There will only be rain showers in the evening when you're sleeping. During the day, it'll be fine. Trust us.
Yeah. But, so it did. It was a really good weekend. We got lots of hikes in. It was lots of people there. We've gone the farthest we've ever gone in the dunes before. It's hard to go the full length. Like, we've only ever gone about a quarter of the way out.
Oh, yeah?
Because the sand dunes are so long. It's just a big, long peninsula of sand.
Yeah, but if you kept on going, it'd be like rehearsing for a trek through the desert.
Yeah, exactly.
Just not as hot.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. It was nice.
Good.
There's lots of white swans and Canada geese and ducks. And
yeah, everything's starting to, you're starting to see the ducks flying
they're
south.
Gathering together to migrate,
Yeah. I got an invite to go paddling on Sunday to Nogi's Creek,
never heard of it.
You know what? I've heard of it, and a lot of local kayakers go there. So our buddy John there said, hey, I'm heading to Nogi's Creek on Sunday if you're up for a paddle. And it's just north of Bob Cajun. Cue the tragically hip music. You can paddle from Pigeon Lake. Bob Cajun's on Pigeon Lake. And you can paddle up the river. Nogi's Creek is actually a river.
Hmm. Okay.
Right? It's not a little small little thing. You can go up the river there to Bass Lake and then through there to Crystal Lake. We didn't go as far as Crystal Lake. So, yeah, we parked south of Bass Lake and did some exploring and stuff. And, you know, there's a couple places that you can park to put in. So there's a big there's even a place there that people, I've seen pictures of people like threw up a tent trailer for the weekend.
What?
Yeah. I don't know that I'd be wanting to camp next to a road. Like I say, I've heard about it many times. People go paddling over the years, but this is the first time I'd ever been there. I thought it was closer. You know, you hear, oh, yeah, we're going up here, we're going up here, we're going up here. And then, oh, everybody's just, it's so many people are going, it can't be that far away. It's an hour and a half drive. So you're thinking, wait a minute. It's an hour and a half drive if you don't stop for coffee, if you don't have to stop to adjust a tie down strap that's banging on the roof of your truck.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause you know, I tie part of the end back around from the front to the roof rack, but sometimes if it's too loose,
it goes flop, flop,
it just goes on the roof of your truck. And after a while, you know what? I'm pulling over and I'm fixing this because this is starting to tick me off.
That's driving me nuts. That's and, like the, if you don't twist the tie downs, they hum in the wind. And it's like, oh, no, can't have that. I got to retie that. That's just going to drive me nuts.
Yep. And it's only an hour and a half if you don't follow your GPS unit. I had the GPS on getting there, and it seemed every time I turned, it's like, turn here. Okay. And it added like 10 minutes.
Oh.
What? So you see the full zoom out picture of your route. Okay, yeah, it's zigzaggy. Hour and a half, an hour and 36 minutes.
Yeah.
It was like close to 2 hours by the time I got there. And that was like excluding the stop I had to make for the coffee was before that hour and a half even started. It's like, you got to be kidding. Yeah, I was annoyed with that. But
so it's not main roads. It's I'm going to have to look this up.
Well, no, a lot of it's main roads. 412 to the 407 across to the 115 and up. And then a couple of zigzaggies from there. But yeah, it added like a half an hour onto my trip. So I'm sitting there going, okay, I'll be there like about quarter to 10:02. No, I was there like 20 after. It's like, yeah, I was not impressed. So John was going solo in his canoe. I was going solo in my canoe. I had everything ready to go and just getting ready to leave. The truck was all packed and someone was giving me the goo-goo eyes. So I grabbed a couple extra things, opened up the back door of the truck, and Athena jumped right in. She flew down the front steps. across the lawn and jumped into the back of the truck. I got a blanket.
Hmm.
She hit the blanket and slid straight across the back of the seat, smashed in the other door.
A little too excited.
A little too excited to go. But yeah, like I say, so John was in his canoe, Athena and I were in mine. And we launched into the riverboat 9:30 in the morning. Really beautiful day for it. He'd been contemplating going Saturday,
mm-hmm.
and Saturday was just rain. Like you say, heavy rain and whatnot. I was like, that wouldn't have been a fun day at all.
Did you do just one way? And like, how did you get back to the vehicles? Like, what was the...
Oh, we parked the vehicles. We went south, and then back up to the where the vehicles were, past that, and headed north to the bridge.
Okay.
And then back to the vehicles.
There's a dam, Nogi's Creek Dam,
yep,
as well.
Yep. That's where we went.
Okay.
So, lots of hunter blinds.
Oh,
for
yeah?
Waterfowl. Yeah, didn't see them. They're usually gone by the time of the day we were there.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause they're sunrise when the birds are still on the water, right? Let's go back, blast the crap out of them while they're still sleeping. we launched, like I said, and you go down, you come into a wide area. It's not really a lake, but it's big enough where the dam is there.
Yeah.
And there's a bunch of small islands there, but one of them, a massive bald eagle nest. And there was an eagle up there by the looks of it. It was some bird of prey anyway, that big one.
Mm-hmm.
So whether it was we think it was the eagle or it was an osprey, because there are ospreys down on Pigeon Lake. So yeah, saw that take off, but like I said, it was a massive bald eagle nest. We landed on a little island after a little bit of exploration, and apparently someone was so excited to get out of the water, out onto the water, mm-hmm. and into nature, that I did the dismount. She jumped out and immediately got the zoomies running through the woods.
Yeah.
And John and I are just standing there, and she's just ripping everywhere on this island. It's a small island, good thing, otherwise. You know, there was a bit of rock there, so we were sitting on the rocks just soaking up some of the sun, relaxing for a bit. She's down on the shoreline there trying to get into the take a sip of water, and she's going to crawl down the rocks a little bit, get her feet wet, and slippery rocks, down she goes, comes back out, finds another spot. She's waiting in the water, you know, just her feet, found a drop off.
Oh, yeah. Whoops.
Oops. And then came the pièce de résistance. The other side of the island, she saw more water.
Oh.
So she goes ripping over across the shore, which wasn't shore. It was mud.
Oh.
She went, sunk right up to her armpits, her belly, and face first. And
whoops.
She's just standing there like,
what just happened?
What happened? And yeah, she came out and was like, oh, you stink and you're covered in mud.
Oh, yeah.
So she had her life jacket on for the first half of our trip. I was not putting that thing back on her because I took it off when we were just sitting around on the island.
Yeah.
And I figured this way, because it had turned into such a nice day, the mud would have dried.
Yeah.
And then I could just, you know, brush it off of her. That was the plan. Had to wait to see if it happened or not.
Yeah.
But yeah, by the time we finished our day, everything was like all dried, so I can just run my hands mm-hmm. over her fur, and it was just turning to dust and falling off for the most part.
Yeah.
So got rid of about 90% of it. She was not ecstatic about having a mud bath.
Yeah.
So, we did a bunch of exploring and then around that whole area. Checking out. There's some crown land there, but there's also some private land there.
Okay.
But the island we were on, you can get a tent on there. There's a fire pit and all that sort of thing. I don't know how much, you're not really going anywhere. If you're sitting there, you're going to camp, you're just paddling around, exploring
mm-hmm.
a really easy weekend sort of thing.
Yep.
It'd be more just to get out of the city. Sort of thing. But yeah, nice area. And we headed back north out of that area, past where we parked the vehicles, towards the bridge that crosses the creek. There's a lot of people parked there, but the access kind of sucks. And the amount of vehicles that are there kind of suck.
I see there's a... Oh, the bridge. Is that the Nogues Creek Canoe and Kayak Access
Point? Yeah. Yeah. It's not the greatest access. But especially you got a kayak. You're trying to get it down this rocky little incline, weed-covered... Whereas the where we farther south of that, there's a little spot that we went into, and it's like nice gentle slope right into the water.
Oh, right on!
Right in front of the car. You just take your boat off the top of your vehicle and place it right on the shore.
It's a nice looking area.
Yeah, it was beautiful there. Bit of a winding river, clear water. Apparently, it's a fish sanctuary. There's no fishing between. Pigeon and Bass Lake.
Okay.
Apparently, I guess John was saying something about they do musky studies there.
Mm-hmm.
But like, if it was 10 feet deep, you could see the bottom.
Oh, wow. Really?
Yeah. I mean, it was a lot shallower in that. Most of the spots, there was a lot of weeds. So like, so much habitat for bass and musky and stuff, right? So, yeah, it was really nice to paddle through there and see some stuff. Saw some minnows, nothing other than that. Yeah, I went, made it to the bridge, turned back to the vehicles, and we did about 10.1 kilometers.
Well, nice. That's not like loop type?
Well, from the truck down to the one... to the dam, then back past the vehicles, up to the bridge and back. Like, not in a hurry either, right? It took us a few hours, so.
Yeah.
And, yeah. Almost made it back to the vehicles. And all of a sudden, there were gunshots.
Oh.
Athena did not like that. She was up, standing, looking, tail between her legs.
What was
like,
that?
Oh, yeah, that was... But she doesn't get like that with fireworks.
Mm-hmm.
But this was something completely different, and it was loud.
It would be unexpected for her, too.
Yeah. John says there's a hunting camp over there as well as all the blinds that are on the shore and stuff like that. And, yeah, there was about three gunshots. So it sounds like somebody's just, like... taking shots. They weren't actually...
target practice or
something? Yeah, or something like that. Because of how they were spaced.
Yeah.
Like, if you were shooting at birds...
Yeah.
Right? Like, those birds are stupid if they're standing there to give you that much time to take a couple more shots. This guy can't hit us! Yeah, we headed back to the takeout, loaded everything up, and headed on out. Awesome day. Weather was perfect. Sun, pure sun with a slight breeze at times. There's a couple of spots where, I mean, if you're solo and you're, I had 80 pounds of weight in my boat with me.
Yeah.
But if you didn't have that,
ballast.
It and the lightweight canoes sort of that just pushes you over to the side a bit. So, but nothing major. Saw lots of Canada geese, ducks and swans and that sort of thing. So. Yeah, it was an awesome day and took me less time to get home than it did to get me there.
I never knew about the area. Now I want to go.
Yeah. Well, like I say, it's one of those areas I've heard people, like I say, it all seems to be like Durham region kayakers and stuff.
Yeah.
They're, oh, we're heading to Nogues Creek. We're heading to Nogues Creek. Okay, well, it's got to be like right around the corner. And then John sent me a pin on Google Maps there, and I'm like, wait, this is north of Bob Cajun. It was like an hour and a half away. So, yeah, definitely go there again. And, yeah, even it's one of those things that if you left on a Friday afternoon, got up there, put all your camping gear in, hit one of those islands and set everything up, and then Saturday go tootling up to, like, Bass Lake and back sort of thing. And then spend the evening on the campsite, just tootling about, enjoying your peace and quiet. There's enough room to hang up enough trees to hang up a small hammock or something and just relax. And then Sunday, pack up and head out.
Yep.
Like, it's a perfect spot for an overnighter, right? So, yeah, definitely. Or, like I say, just getting up early in the morning, zipping up there for a full day of paddling around and exploring and definitely be heading back up there.
Yes. It's very windy.
It is. but like I said, we didn't see any fish except for a couple little minnows under there. But when we used to go fishing for bass and stuff like that. If you see a bunch of weeds, you'll see some clear areas in the bottom. You drop a worm and a bait hook in there because the fish sit on the fringe of that.
Oh, yeah.
Waiting for things to drop in.
Stuff, yeah.
And then they'll just zip out and grab it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we saw a few spots of those because as I'm paddling, I'm thinking, that's a fishing spot. That's a fishing spot. And then I'm saying it to John. He goes, you can't fish here. Well, that's a fish. I may not be able to fish, but I'm telling you what is a fishing spot and what's not a fishing spot. And that, my friend, is a fishing spot. Just because I can't fish doesn't mean I can't point it out.
Exactly.
So, yeah, good day. So maybe we should make plans to go up there for a full day trip. With two people in the boat, you can get a lot farther.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And, going under the bridge. Athene is just sitting there looking at the bottom of the bridge as we're going down. And I'm like, well, this isn't right. Oh, she had a blast. That was a really good... hey, John, I'm getting goo-goo eyes from somebody. Can I bring Athena? And he just texts back, bring her. So the one thing, she's whining a bit, like.
Yeah.
So she sees... She's one of those dogs, she needs to know where everybody is. If we're hiking, she always runs to make sure everybody is still there. And if somebody's missing or she can't see, she runs around to make sure she can find where they went, that sort of deal. There's times where we've been on trails and it's like, I'll tell Tracy, okay, you head on that way. I'm just going to check something out here. And all she does is run back and forth.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like if I was going east and Tracy was going west, that dog would get so much exercise just running between the two of us. So as long as she could see John in his canoe, but there was a couple times where he had to come over and we were right next to each other and she stands up, walks right over because she wanted scratches. So he's scratching her. We're chit-chatting about a couple things and then he goes. And at one point he comes over to do that. She starts trying to get into his boat.
Oh, right on.
We do not change boats midstream. You do not climb from one canoe into somebody else's. It's frowned upon. But no, you know what? She's... great in the boat. She doesn't, she'll stand up sometimes and move around, but majority of times if she needs to switch her position, she just raises her butt off the ground a little bit and pivots.
Okay.
So she'll face left and then she'll sort of pivot around, not a full stand, so that she's facing front or to the right, something like that, right? Occasionally she faces me, but most of the time she's like sitting there staring straight ahead.
Yeah. I'm the lookout.
Right? She wants to see where everything's going. But didn't, was she laid down once? She has this habit that she just flops herself down when she wants to lay down.
And lands hard.
And on the side of the boat.
Yeah.
So you're sitting there and then all of a sudden you got all this 80 pounds of weight thrown against the side of the boat. And you're not watching.
Yeah, you're not ready for it.
Then all of a sudden, you know, you just do that panic grab, right? So... definitely a place to go. Nogies Creek, Nogies Creek. It's not just a little tiny little creek thing. There's some marshy stuff. There's a lot of weedy stuff. Lots of birds to see. We didn't see anything big like deer or moose. I don't even know if there'd be moose there or not. You're not that far from Bob Cajun.
It's near Minden. I'm looking at all
there's lots around. So, I mean, even if you stayed, you know, we're there for... a night and then just did a day trip up, you know, it's just right outskirts of town.
Huh.
So I'll have to go there. That's one you'd want to take the kiddies to.
Yes.
Just for a day trip.
Yeah.
Right? We're going for a day trip. Jump in the car. Let's go.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Sounds like a plan.
Yeah. One of the things, I mean, as you know, when you're out there paddling, you probably cover 150 different topics minimum while you're chit-chatting about this, and the other thing, right? Talking about whitewater.
Oh.
And because John won a weekend course, I think, who was it with? paddling the paddle co-op.
Oh, okay, cool.
Whitewater course. He won it.
Yeah.
So he went and did that, and he talked about maybe doing some sort of whitewater paddling or something,
mm-hmm.
going somewhere. And I've been hemming and hawing about it, and looking at boats and stuff like that. And you start looking, and you start thinking, oh, you know what? Like these, there's some of these whitewater boats, $5,000.
Yeah.
You know what? I don't do, for some, just getting
into
it.
Don't do it enough.
I don't do it in whitewater enough.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have enough friends that do whitewater canoeing. And I am not... If you're just getting into whitewater canoeing, are you going to go spend $5,000 to $6,000
on
a top of the line
to see if it works out,
and just to find out, you know what, I'm really not into this.
It's not my thing after all.
It's not my cup of tea now, is it? So I was looking at Novacraft has got this Prospector 16 SP3, and it's just under $2,000.
I was looking at that. So when you sent me that link, I was looking at it and I thought, well, is this a whitewater canoe? And they say it's good for whitewater, but mm-hmm. it seems like it's geared towards, they also have whitewater, pure whitewater made out of tough stuff.
Well, that's those lighter.
Are the, those are the, yeah. So it's 67 pounds for the tough stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And the vinyl one, the SP3, it's vinyl. It's the same kind of plastic as the gunnels and so on, but it's a good price. And I found it interesting. Their market for it, their design market is, If you're an outfitter and you want to buy up a bunch of rental craft for your mm-hmm. fleet, then you're not getting into it too much. It's not costing a lot. And these are well-rounded canoes, like for cottage country or some whitewater or whatever. It's like the pickup truck of canoes type thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's a general boat for everything activity that'll take a lot of beating, but it's 94 pounds.
Well, for the 16-footer,
if
you got the 17-footer, it's 99 pounds. Now, my first freighter canoe was fiberglass and was 90 pounds.
Yeah, those are heavy.
So, you know.
Yep.
It's not. And the purpose of a whitewater canoe is not to be carrying it.
No.
Right? So, mind you, you're going to have to do some. Portaging a 100-pound canoe isn't really that difficult. You just don't want to do it all the time.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah. So I went on their site. I'm looking there, and it says, our SP3 canoe models have the same performance characteristics as our famous Prospector models. It is a Prospector. But are made from a tough three-layer polyethylene plastic called SP3 that withstands hard knocks and extensive use. Because the material is nearly indestructible... There's that nearly
word.
I was going to say nearly. Well, that word just changes the challenge, doesn't it?
It's also no guarantees, right?
Yeah. It makes them attractive to owners who plan to subject them to hard use with little maintenance. While SP3 canoes are our heaviest boats, they are also the most affordable canoes we produce. These canoes are ideal for canoe liveries and rental shops since they will give many years of faithful service at an attractive price. For a family looking for a canoe they can leave knocking around the cottage, they'll have a canoe that should last a lifetime. Our Prospector 16 SP3 feels most at home loaded with gear on a remote wilderness, lake, or river. Ba-bam!
Yep, there you go.
While it's best suited for river tripping, it remains versatile enough to be a good all-around canoe. With experience, the self-righting aspects of this shallow arch hull will become apparent and confidence levels will soar. What's more, it provides a very dry ride in big waves and white water. It is simply the best all-round wilderness tripping canoe available.
It is a well-rounded, the weight is the only downside. Otherwise,
right?
It's a, like, for $18.99, for under $2,000,
yeah.
How could you go wrong, right?
Right? Well, as well, if you're doing a wilderness trip and you've got the lightweight beastie,
yep.
And then you got something like this, you got the people that aren't going to want to do whitewater. They can portage the the lightweight one around the rapids, mm-hmm. take some extra gear, while others that do like to do the white water have that option to run some rapids and have a little bit of fun, because it's not everybody's cup of tea to be doing rapids. So this sort of, if you're taking some, if you have two groups of people, then you can switch. And then some maybe, okay, you know what? You're portaging this one. I'm going to go down the rapids. Mind you, there's nothing saying he can't bring it back across the portage and run them again.
Do it again. Yeah.
Right? Your turn. Weight, 94 pounds or 42.6 kilograms. Weights are based on year-long production averages and may vary. So maybe you'll get a 92-pound one or a 96-pound one. It all depends. 15 foot 7 inches. They call it a 16, but the width is 36 inches. Center depth 14.5. End depth 23. The rocker is 3 inches. Capacity 900 pounds.
Mm-hmm. That's a lot of gear.
That's, yeah. Or a couple of fat guys. Symmetrical hull, shallow arch bottom, moderate rocker. Pros, great price, great for whitewater. Con, 94 pounds. No, you know what? Like, if this is something, and you know what else this is good for? Canoe bowling.
Oh, yes, yeah. Nice, right? Stable, heavy platform.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and if you're going up rapids and you're, mm-hmm. I mean, with mine, I canoe pole in my lightweight Swift.
Yep.
Which is like 52 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
But I miss a lot of rocks. This thing will just find the rocks. But, I mean, and if I find one of those rocks in my Swift.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, you're hoping you don't hammer the rock. You hope you just skid over it and leave a little bit of paint.
Yeah.
This thing here, bumper cars, right?
Yeah, so it won't matter.
For if you're looking to get into it, I think this would be a good option. Like I say, a lot of the whitewater canoes that I've been looking at, you know, $3,000, $4,000, $5,000, $6,000.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know what?
It's a lot of money to sink into a watercraft if you don't know.
If you don't know if you're going to enjoy it or not, right?
And this thing is so utilitarian. It'll be good for anything and everything.
Right.
And the only really drawback is the weight.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it meets all the points that you need for a backcountry canoe that you can just beat around. You're not going to be worried about, cracking a Kevlar hole. You know, it's very versatile. It's tough.
Mm-hmm.
And really, if you go switch to tough stuff, which is going to add, you know, $3,000 to the price, but only save you 20, 30 pounds. So it's.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah. So the real question becomes, do you get the cover for it or not?
You mean like for splash? Like, mm-hmm. You could do that.
And then, so if you got one of those covers on your boat.
Mm-hmm.
Right, because you're doing white water, so you want to make sure everything inside stays dry. If you have two people in there, the holes are where the seats are, right?
Yep.
What happens, I guess, if you switch around, if you're going solo?
Oh.
Because the back of the hole,
mm-hmm.
would fit towards the back of the person, towards the back of the front seat.
Yeah.
But when you go solo, you switch around. So your legs and everything.
Could be complicated. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I imagine they must have, I'm sure you can have some kind of custom.
It's got to be some configuration where if you want to go solo.
Mm-hmm.
Or you just fill the boat with water as you go. Whatever. Yeah. We'll wing it. So, yeah, I got the winter to
think about it.
Contemplate, but. And then the thing comes, well, if I got all winter, can they customize some sort of paint job for me? Some sort of design on it?
Well, I wonder, because generally, when it comes to vinyl or tough stuff, it's the color of the material is your canoe's color. It's not like the Kevlar canoes, they tend to put a paint on. You can either have a paint or unpainted if you want to see the Kevlar fabric through the gel coat or whatever.
I know there's a red one that they red with white in the middle, and I think the Canadian flag underneath, like the maple leaf.
Yeah.
But I would just want to get something like on the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
If you're reading this, I effed up.
Yes. If you can read this, flip me back over.
Right. You see this canoe going upside down through the rapids, and you're reading, if you can read this, yeah. I effed up. Ooh.
Okay, yeah. Good shot.
That's not good. So, yeah, the Novacraft Prospector 16 SP3. I don't know anybody that has one.
I've never, yeah. Did they say when they started marketing it? Like, is this a new thing?
No, it's not new. Yeah, it'd be interesting to see what people think of it.
The price is very attractive.
The only bad thing I can see so far
is
the weight.
Yeah.
So,
and 94 pounds, that's a lot. That's
for $2,000 as opposed to five or six.
I know. Yeah. I'll deal with the extra 30 pounds.
I'll deal with the extra 30 pounds all day long. Because that money, I could put into like a plane flight into some of these backcountry places.
Yeah.
And still be ahead of the game.
Yeah.
Anyway, we'll just see what happens there. Stand-up paddleboards. BMW. You drive a BMW, don't you?
I do not.
Sure you do.
I do.
For these purposes, you do.
Just a side note. On one of the loops that because we walked around the sandbanks a lot, on one of the campsites, there's a group of people setting up tents, and parked in the opening of the campsite was a Benz, a Porsche, and a Lexus. And it's like... roughing it for the weekend, like
right.
I had to do a double take.
We went full slumming at this weekend.
Yes, I know. I had to do a double take. I'm not talking down on them. Like, hey, you get.
But it's not something you see every day.
No, it's like it looked very strange. Like you're used to seeing SUVs and pickup trucks and so on, and there was like three brand new, very pretty cars, and it's like what?
Well, at least they're getting out there, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, good on them.
Anyways, back to the BMW sup.
So, BMW has launched an electric stand-up paddleboard.
Huh. Wait, what?
The German luxury car maker has introduced an electric watercraft to match your, what is it, new class EV.
Hmm.
In conjunction with Slovenian manufacturer Sipa Boards, has entered the water sports arena with the launch of the electric stand-up paddleboard. Board weighs 10.9 kilograms and designed to carry two people. Combines electric drive with high-grade materials, digital connectivity, and a flexible energy system. Electric motor with up to 300 watts output powers a propeller for additional thrust while on the move and makes paddling easier. Well, if I got a propeller going, I ain't paddling.
Exactly.
One or the other. it's good to help for when you're going into headwinds or against the current. The drivetrain. Okay, when you start using words like that.
Drivetrain.
Delivers speeds of about 7.5 kilometers per hour or 4 knots.
Mm-hmm.
Motor also inflates the board automatically before you head out.
Wow.
There's a good idea. So instead of having to inflate it with a separate thing, boom, boom. The energy is stored and supplied by two 90 watt per hour. Is that watt per hour?
Watt hours.
Watt hours?
90 watt hour battery.
Battery module options enabling between 1 and 3.5 hours of boarding time. A 180-watt-hour battery module will be introduced as an option from 2026 for between 3 and 7 hour riding stints.
Wow.
BMW Group Design Works took care of the visuals for the X-woven drop-stitch core boards. Styling was inspired by the design language of the company's new class range of electric cars with 800-volt electric architecture. BMW says the craft has strong structural rigidity and stability and is equipped with Bluetooth remote control. And when you walk, when you come back to the beach and you say, I'm going to go up and grab a hot dog, all you hear is, whoop, whoop. That's pretty locked. on their stand-up paddleboard. Boop, boop. User interface with haptic feedback allows the rider to toggle into Freud mode for extra power. Smartphone app enables users to plan routes, monitor the battery charge. An additional safety feature is the automatic power cutoff, which is triggered by a Bluetooth signal. If the carbon fiber paddle falls into the water, a return signal is immediately transmitted that automatically cuts the motor, ensuring the board remains under control at all times.
Wait, what?
So if you drop your paddle, the board shuts off.
It keeps track of the paddle?
I'm guessing. I'm thinking what they should have done, if you drop the paddle into the water, the board turns itself and drives itself to the
paddle.
Or if it's going down a river, it chases the paddle down the river. I mean, that would be the you know, the natural thing to do. Three color variants are available, and the board has a click and connect feature that allows for the attachment of accessories such as cameras, speakers, drink bottles, waterproof bags, or even cool boxes. LED ambient lighting underneath the board further enhances nighttime use. Okay, I would go for the LED lighting for sure. BMW offers a lifestyle accessory capsule that comprises an Insta360 X5 camera and apparel from the BMW range. The BMW XSEPA boards are available now from the BMW Lifestyle online store and select retailers starting at €3,990, which is $6,500 Canadian or $4,600 US.
It's not as much as I thought it would be.
Well, considering if you're driving a BMW,
mm-hmm.
you're probably going to be able to afford that anyway over here, so... But, yeah, the only thing, clap on, clap off.
I've came across this, it's a paddleboard, but it's got a hydrofoil underneath it. And, apparently you can get up some pretty wicked speeds.
Oh yeah.
And, so the ones that I was looking at there over the last 2 years, they're $15,000.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Get me one of those. Give me two. Why, heck, you coming? Give me three. So, yeah, if you're out and about looking to spend some money, check out the old electric-powered stand-up paddleboard from BMW.
I got Google pictures of that right now.
Yeah. I mean, it looks slick, but, you know. We talked about the witch paddles last week. You know what forgot to mention?
What's that?
You know what else is coming up? Tis the season for pumpkin paddling. The giant pumpkins that they hollow out and paddle.
Oh, the
pumpkin regattas.
It's that time of year, yeah.
It's that time of year, too. I've been starting to see notices for pool sessions because it's that time of year as well.
Oh, to book your pool session, yeah.
Book a pool session if you want to learn extra skills and stuff like that for kayaking and whatnot. Go online, check out some your local places. You know, people are having pool sessions starting already. So, you know what? Other thing I did this weekend, roasted garlic powder.
Oh.
Tis the season too, because we done did run out.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I made a whole bunch of roasted garlic powder. So our kitchen smelled like a little Italian Nona's kitchen for a while.
Yeah.
Make so much of it. But we put it in the freezer, whatever we don't have in our regular little container, and it keeps it fresh. I had a couple comments about my Upper Canada paddle.
Yeah.
The one with the chunk out of it.
Yeah.
So I decided to go looking. Are they still in business? I can't find one like mine. They're no longer in business, apparently. But no one...
Is that the internet. Model? Is it the brand?
Or
is
Upper Canada Paddling Company.
Hmm.
You can find other versions of it, used and whatnot. But even the internet, because it's got that AI thing now, right? It says Upper Canada Paddle Company is Grey Owl. Well, no. which was bought out. So, and then it says, well, and then at the bottom it says, Upper Canada Paddle Company name cannot be found. So it was either a different name or this name was never registered.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, because there's tons of paddles with that on it. You used to get them at like crappy tire, Canadian Tire.
Yeah.
Pick them up. So yeah, because I was thinking, you know what, maybe I'll go and see if I can find another one just like this one. Nah, can't.
But no.
Nope. It's one of a kind.
Upper, is it one word? Up just
two. Oh, look. Upper Canada.
I typed in Upper Company. The whole thing came up right away.
Really?
Looks like a lot of people are searching for that.
Or because it heard us talking about it. Big Brother's watching.
Huh.
But they're all different styles, but they don't have the beaver tail one like I've got.
There's a few. Scout Tech Outfitters carries it.
No, not that one.
Oh, no?
Nope. I already saw that. That's the first thing that comes up is that one. They're like square and skinny.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Correct.
You are correct, sir.
So, big anyway. Conversation on Reddit about them.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that was from years ago, and it's been the Reddit conversation has accidentally been deleted or something like that.
Oh.
It said on there.
Hmm.
Yet the entries are still there.
Yeah.
Anyway, but that conversation is about the sticker that's on it.
Yeah.
Because a guy has one of the paddles, and he can barely read what it is, and there's some writing underneath that says, like, handmade in Canada,
yeah.
and whatnot. So he wanted a new sticker, and where can he get one?
Oh.
That's what that whole thing is.
Yeah.
Yeah, I went down those rabbit holes. But anyway. Speaking of rabbit holes, a mysterious canoe. A mysterious wooden canoe found after Hurricane Ian still baffles experts 3 years later. Fort Myers discovery made of mahogany suggests possible Caribbean connections. A highly unusual wooden canoe that was unearthed in the aftermath of Hurricane Ian is still puzzling experts 3 years later. Canoe was discovered in Fort Myers, Florida, fall of 2022. The Florida Division of Historical Resources, or the FDHR, announced on September 12th that the canoe's conservation is now complete, yet the mystery of where it came from and how old it is remains. Huh. Canoe's form is highly unusual in Florida, and research is still ongoing to determine its origin. Comparisons to similar vessels in the Caribbean suggest that it may have connections to that region. If this is proven, then the canoe may be considered a cayuco, a term used in Hispanic countries to distinguish a small dugout canoe, typically for riverine and coastal navigation. Many people asked what kind of wood the canoe was made of, and after investigation by a respected wood anatomist, it seems that the canoe is made of mahogany.
That's a very unusual.
Right?
It's very heavy, too.
That's very expensive.
Mm-hmm.
Mahogany either came from South Florida or the Caribbean, still leaving the origin a mystery. Species is native to the Northern Keys and the Everglades. Researchers think this may be the first record of a canoe in Florida being constructed of mahogany.
Hmm.
How weird.
And I'm sure the person who lost it is very sad because it'd be a very unique canoe.
It would be.
Hmm.
From however many hundreds or thousands of years ago.
Well, I don't think it's that old.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's like the ones they found in Wisconsin there.
Mm-hmm.
It looks the same sort of deal. They're doing the whole refurbishing or conservation on it and all that sort of stuff. So, yeah, it's not a new thing. It's definitely not a new one.
And they think it's a very old?
Yeah. Yep.
Hmm.
So, we'll see.
Was there pictures?
Yep. Well, one picture at the end.
Huh.
And then the scientist people doing their conservation work sort of thing.
Yeah.
So.
Interesting.
Yeah. There is a winter camping symposium happening because, you know, 'tis the season when all this sort of stuff starts. The winter camping symposium is being held in Sturgeon Lake, Minnesota. this week, starting today, Thursday, October 16th, running to Sunday the 19th, our buddy John Van Berger is going there. He had sent us a message asking if we could head on down to Minnesota and meet up with him, but unfortunately, we can't. But he's going to check everything out, and then next Tuesday when we record with him, he's going to talk about...
Oh, nice.
The Winter Camping Symposium. Yes. So, yeah, I've been touching base with him lately and said, yeah, let's go there, do what you need to do, and then next week we'll do a little recording for next week's episode. So, be nice to chat with him. We haven't chatted with him in quite a while.
Yeah.
If you want to check out, you can go to wintercampingsymposium.com for all the info. If you go to the symposium, if you're down there in Minnesota, find John.
Yep.
John Van Berger, you find him and tell him Sean and Derek said he had free beer for our listeners
to
the show.
Surprise,
John. Yeah, we haven't told John this yet. So just show up and say, hey, Sean and Derek from Paddling Adventures Radio said you have a beer for anybody that listens to the podcast. He's not going to be happy. I hope somebody.
Oh, that'd be funny.
I hope somebody walks, because he's going to send us a message and it'll be swear words. I'll have to drop numerous quarters into that swear jar. So wintercampingsymposium.com in Sturgeon Lake, Minnesota this week. So
Check
it out, because 'tis the season of getting your winter camping gear ready for winter. Even Kevin Callan, I noticed he was doing some maintenance on his winter camping gear.
Everybody's getting ready.
Yeah, getting some WD-40 on those stove hinges. And I got to get my stove out and give it a little brush off and all that sort of stuff. So, yeah. Here's something cool. Are you a horror movie fan?
No, but my daughter is.
It's Halloween's coming up.
It's so strange. She loves her and her friends. She will just go and watch horror movies.
Really?
Yeah.
Horror movies are another something that...
You never stuck with me.
Yeah, they were never my thing to watch. They didn't interest me. And now they've gone from horror movies to, like, gore.
Yeah.
Like, the horror movies back in the day, somebody jumps out with a knife, you scream, you jump, you poop your pants.
Yeah.
Now, somebody's, like, slicing your head off and ripping your fingernails out and you don't need all that. They've gone
splashes of blood.
Yeah, I think they've gone a bit too far with the... Anyway, that's my own thing. A man has been traveling nationwide to acquire celebrity signatures for the iconic Friday the 13th canoe.
Huh?
A man has been traveling across the country.
You don't have to read it again.
To acquire signatures for this iconic movie prop, and he's making a stop in Salina, Kansas, to receive a last one from a well-known celebrity. So John Miller acquired this original canoe from the very first Friday the 13th movie, because there's been, 100 of them or something like that?
Yeah, something like that.
Has been traveling across the country to get signatures from anyone who had been a part of the iconic horror franchise.
Wow.
He's planning on making a stop at Salina on Saturday, October 25th. So if you're in Salina, Kansas or nearby, to get the last signature from Kevin Bacon during the Bacon Brothers concert at Stifle Theater. Kevin Bacon played Jack in the 1980 film. According to Miller, this canoe has the most signatures with 80 plus, more than any other Friday the 13th movie prop in history. He has acquired other signatures from celebrities such as Robert Englund, Alice Cooper, Crispin Glover, all the actors who played Jason Voorhees, and Corey Feldman. Robert Englund was Nightmare on Elm Street, though.
Yeah.
Close enough. Oh, no, wasn't there a Freddy? There was Freddy versus Jason.
Yep, there was.
Right? So, he does count in there. Miller started the journey 5 years ago. As time progressed, he stated that he put it in his will to donate back to the original campsite of where the first movie of the franchise was filmed. Every time a Friday the 13th person pops up that I don't have, I go and get them, said Miller. It is very well known in the convention circuit, very well known around the country to Friday the 13th collectors. There has been YouTube videos done on it. It's a pretty big thing. He got the canoe by acquiring it from a junkyard in Iowa after visiting the original Boy Scout camp in New Jersey where the movie was filmed. How did it make it from New Jersey to Iowa?
Yeah.
He found it and officially acquired the original canoe of the first movie. He said, "We have had offers from people that were in Friday the 13th to buy the canoe, but I just can't sell it." He has received offers of $100,000, but declined.
Wow.
Huh. Right? Not only does he have the original canoe, but he also has collections like the Nightmare on Elm Street motorcycle, gas cans from the films. In his spare time outside of his full-time job of being a social worker, he collects items from Friday the 13th or Nightmare on Elm Street. Once Miller arrives in Salina, he invites all Friday the 13th fans to come and check the canoe out. So if you are in Salina, Kansas, on October 25th, head over to the Stifle Theater and check out the canoe.
Is it a, it's a Grumman.
Yep. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. But you see all the if you Google it, you'll see all the autographs and, mm-hmm. and everything like that on the seats. But just to get those, all the actors and whatnot.
I know. It's amazing to get them all.
That's pretty cool. And it's not something like you can, you know, just put in a book or something like that. You'd have to protect it somehow when it's all done.
Yeah, like a clear coat or something.
Yeah, to put over everything.
I doubt he's going to take it paddling.
Probably not. Probably not. Just a guess, but yeah, probably not. So no, that's something pretty cool to definitely have. But staying on the kind of weird things when it comes to paddling, Fitz and his brother Vladdy are adventure cats. They live and explore in and around Ontario, Canada. Where do we live, Derek?
Ontario, Canada.
Ontario, Canada. They accompany their mom on hikes, bike rides, kayaking trips, and even snow sledding. Their mom recently upgraded the cat's kayak adventure capabilities by customizing individual kayaks for each. There's a point where I draw the line. The cat kayak is actually a floating cooler sold on Amazon. Looks like a little a stubby kayak sort of thing. Fitz's mom has added some pool noodle stabilizing attachments. So she's put blue pool noodles around the side to help stabilize it. This keeps the cooler from flipping if the cats move around during adventures. To get the two animals used to riding in their own little flotilla, she practiced by allowing them to float in still water. Once they were comfortable, she began towing the cat kayaks behind her own kayak. So there's pictures of her paddling, and there's a rope, then a little yellow kayak with a cat in it, then a rope, and another little kayak with a cat in it. Although Fitz and Vladdy's mom includes a link to the cooler she uses as a cat kayak, she adds a warning. The coolers can tip, so the added stability gained from the pool noodles should not be ignored if you try this for your own adventure cat.
I've seen this pop up a couple of times. Mm-hmm. This looks familiar.
Fitzcapades on TikTok, Facebook, and Instagram. Fitz likes to chill in his cat kayak. He lies quietly, chasing the occasional bug and napping contentedly. Vladdy is apparently more rambunctious. He prefers sitting up and watching everything around him. Both cats normally wear personal flotation devices. If they do fall out of their kayaks, they will not be in danger. However, Fitz sometimes refuses to wear his life jacket, but they paddle close to shore in the shallow waters, and both cats enjoy swimming.
That's hilarious.
I draw the line at certain things.
Those are neat coolers.
They are, like, right?
Kayaks.
Well, that's what I'm thinking is, like, I'd just be getting one of those to tie behind my boat and haul my drinks, right? Some nice cold pops or something and a lunch. And, oh, dude, you would love one of those for your charcuterie stuff, right? There's Derek's charcuterie kayak. Yeah. You can tow that behind your canoe.
Yeah. Very cool.
Connect it right to the side, so you just haul it over and just start munching as you're going.
Well, this woman's whole channel is her and her cats.
Her and her cats. Adventure cats, yeah. Fitz Capades. F-I-T-Z Capades. All one word. TikTok, Facebook, and Instagram. But at the end of the day, you get a giggle out of it, but whatever floats their boat gets her out there and enjoys taking time with her cats out there. And then so be. I mean, we do it with our dogs. So why not with your cats?
They're followed. The weather network follows them.
Last thing I got here. You're stuck on the cat videos, aren't you?
No, I just found the...
Derek's on the cat videos.
The weather network.
Oh, the pumpkins. The
pumpkin races.
Giant pumpkin races. Yeah. Kayakers, get ready. A 7.7-mile stretch of water on Greens Bayou in the heart of Houston has just been anointed by the Texas Parks and Wildlife Department as an official paddling trail. Just in time for a pleasant fall afternoon in the water. We're thrilled to add the Greens Bayou Trail to the Texas Paddling Trails program, especially since about a quarter of all Texans live within driving distance of this new trail, says Shelley Plant, TPWD Nature Tourism Manager. Adding almost 8 more miles of trail in the Houston area is huge in helping people connect to nature. And that's it. Everybody's the main goal is getting people out there and connecting to nature.
Exactly, yeah.
Greens Bayou meanders from northwest Houston down towards the Houston Ship Channel. 2018 improvements along the bayou were completed by the Houston Parks Board that made launching kayaks easier. Waterway was already a spot for avid paddlers thanks to the Greens Bayou Regatta, which first took place in 2016. This announcement makes Greens Bayou Trail the 90th paddle trail on the Texas Paddling Trails Program Registry, a handy guide for anyone wanting to make a day of boating. Over 700 miles of navigable water are now mapped by the Texas Paddling Trails Program. 900. That's not too shabs, eh? Completion of the trail was accomplished by a partnership between TPWD, Houston Parks Board, Greens Bayou Coalition, Houston Parks and Recreation Department, National Park Service, Bayou Preservation Association, North Belt Utility District, Parkway Utility District, and North Houston District. There's a lot of people in on this one.
Yes.
But you know what? Like, if everybody's into it, you know.
Well, and, you know, it makes it easier to funding and whatever. If you get a lot of people involved and so on.
It's, well, that's the funding bit, right? Like, if you got $1 million project, one person having to fork out $1 million is a lot harder to get than 10 people with $100,000 sort of thing. The bayou is a slow-moving and fairly easy trail that takes kayakers through the wilder parts of the urban environment. There are many coves and tributaries to explore, and people will likely see a variety of fish, birds, and reptiles that live on the water. Fishing is permitted with a license, but please contact the Department of State Health Services for more information before eating fish caught in the bayou. Well, that's not good. That statement alone makes me leave the fishing pole at home. Official launching points can be found at Brock Adventure Park, Strickland Park, and Thomas Bell Foster Park. Bayou has steep banks and dense vegetation outside these areas that make it hard to disembark except at the official docks. So kayakers and canoers are encouraged stick to the official launching points. Boating equipment can be rented from Kayaking Texas and Pinky's Kayak Rental.
Pinky in the brain.
Pinky in the brain. Pinky Tuscadero from Happy Days. Pinky's Kayak Rental. The TPWD says the individual parts of the trail can usually be navigated between 60 and 90 minutes. So if you're out there for looking for a few hours or a couple of hours of paddling, that's perfect.
So did they expand on the point about, hey, you can fish here, get a license, but contact health services before you eat the fish?
That's all they said.
They didn't say anything else.
Nope. I think it's because they've been, like, it's taken a while to clean it and get it all together. There may have been issues beforehand. Maybe there's stuff in the fish that may not be weeded out yet.
Wow.
Or they're saying, don't eat, you know, they're going to tell you, you can eat the fish, just don't eat the belly part. Like Lake Ontario, you get the salmon and stuff in there. Mm. They say, don't eat the fatty belly part because that's where all the
mercury goes.
Heavy metals and mercury and pollution and stuff goes.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. You can catch the fish, just might not want to eat it.
If they're warning you, hey, contact the health department.
Yeah, I'm leaving. I'm leaving it at home.
Catch and release.
Yep. Yep. So let the good times roll, baby.
They just left that line hovering there with no explanation.
Hey, yeah, bring your fishing gear, one and all. Just don't eat the fish. Have you caught a fish? Give us a call.
Yes.
Before you eat it.
Wow.
But did you notice they didn't say what kind of reptiles?
No, they didn't. That's true.
They just said reptiles.
Mm-hmm. That, there's a broad expanse of potentials there.
Alligators?
Those would be the concerned ones.
Mm-hmm. Huh. Is a snake a reptile? It's not an amphibian.
I should know this. We should know this.
A snake's a reptile. So you got reptiles. So reptiles.
Is a snake a reptile?
He's Googling
yes,
it.
Yes, a snake is a reptile.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, because it's either an amphibian or a reptile, and it's not an amphibian. Because mm-hmm. that'd be a frog.
Yes.
So basically, reptile is just a fancy word for scaly animal that can kill you.
Scaly, cold-blooded vertebrates.
That can kill you. Will attack you. Will bite you. Will eat you. If you try to eat the fish.
Yeah.
Anyway, if you're down in Texas in Houston way, check out the new trail. Don't bring your fishing gear. Bring a camera because apparently there's reptiles. Get some pictures.
There's some dude, he's been on purpose getting bit by snakes for the last 20 years. He just is something that he does.
That's not the guy that's trying to build up his immunity to snake venom, is it?
Apparently the scientists are fascinated by this guy because apparently he's like a walking, talking anti-venom kit. Interesting.
There's going to come a point he goes, well, apparently I went one too far.
Yes. Oh, everybody knows how he's going to die.
Right? I've been bitten by 7,842 snakes. It was the 43rd. And if that snake had arms, he'd be walking around with his arms up in the air going, yeah!
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it takes all type to run this planet, dude. And they're out there.
So many unusual people.
Like, what are the conversations he has with his buddies?
Yeah.
We're at dinner parties. There's my buddy Phil. Yeah, he's into snake bites.
Well, there's a guy who, he's got a Discovery Channel show. He goes around the planet and purposely gets bit by bugs. Like fire ants and you name it, right?
Yeah, there was a TV show.
Yeah, on Discovery Channel.
Yeah, about something, but like if it bites it or it hurts or...
Yeah.
It's
It's like, what?
What is wrong with you?
Hey, I've never seen this animal before. Let's see if it'll bite me.
Just because you can doesn't mean you should.
Exactly.
I don't think people understand that. And I don't think enough people on the planet have been told that. Yes. Just because you can doesn't mean you should.
Absolutely. And always, always freeze or cook your fish. Last thing you need is parasites. Hey, I got a weird worm infection from eating salmon sushi that I just caught.
Yeah. Charcuterie board, sushi rolls on the side. Yeah. It's all good to tasting stuff there, Derek. Just because you can.
Yep.
Yeah. Anywho. you got anything else?
I do not.
Really?
It's a really good beer we're having this week. I've been sipping it, but it's...
But see, I like this sort of thing. It is Dark Prince Black IPA.
Yeah, Tilted Glass from Bowmanville, Ontario.
Hmm. But, like, I mean, I like Guinness stouts Guinness and that sort of stuff. So this is right up that.
Mm-hmm. It's a nice sipping, it's a nice sipping beer.
You know what? If this is, like, a lot colder...
Yes.
Like it was when we first poured it.
Yeah.
I could guzzle that right down. A regular beer, I don't tend to be guzzly.
It is very flavorful.
But I could just guzzle that straight down and then pour another one.
Mm-hmm.
It's just got that consistent. I can do that with Guinness.
I like sipping heavy beers. Sip, sip, sip.
Nah, if it's cold mm-hmm. beer, you just guzzle one down and then you sip the second and third and fourth and fifth and sixth one.
Oh, jeez. No, I could only have one of these. One and done.
Well, yeah, you're driving, bud.
Well, no, it's not that. It's I don't like the heavy beers. Like, yeah. Have one, have a nice, it, like, it goes with a meal. It's
That's okay. I'll have your other four. I don't even think I drink that much. All righty. Well, if you want to find out more about us, you can find us at paddlingadventuresradio.com. We're on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. Or you can download or stream our episodes from iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Podbean, iHeartRadio, Amazon Music, Player FM, or all your favorite podcast downloading sites. Or just go to the episode page at paddlingadventuresradio.com, and you can stream or download all of the episodes there. If you enjoy the podcast, please share it with friends, family, and fellow paddlers. I want to thank everybody for listening this week. I'm Sean Rowley.
And I'm Derek Specht. We'll see you next time.